It is hard to forget the scenes as the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan last year. A suicide bomb outside Kabul airport killed about 180 people. An American drone strike killed 10 Afghans, mostly children. The estimates are that more than 47,000 Afghan civilians and 2,000 American service members died during that 20-year war. But who bears responsibility for how the withdrawal went? Vox's Jonathan Geyer wrote about that, and he is with us now. Jonathan, hi.
Hi. Thanks, Scott.
So you've been asking a lot of people in your reporting, what went wrong with the exit from Afghanistan and whose fault was it? Fundamentally, if I can ask you to simplify, what were the main things that went wrong when the U.S. pulled its forces from Afghanistan last year?
So I think President Biden did something hugely brave politically by withdrawing from what had become a forever war and had mired the U.S. in Afghanistan. But there were a lot of tactical and bureaucratic errors. One is just not having the visa processing for Afghan partners who were fleeing. One is this massive intelligence failure that it's almost like the U.S. couldn't imagine that the U.S.-backed government in Afghanistan would fall so quickly. The military probably didn't want to leave. Intelligence agencies didn't want to leave. State Department maybe dragging their feet. So there just wasn't coordination between this whole interagency U.S. government process. So what happens is this incredibly sloppy withdrawal.
Yeah. Well, and as your article goes into, it implicates a lot of organizations. You mentioned the State Department, the intelligence community, but there is a lot of focus on the White House for its coordination, which brings up two people in particular, the Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden, and Jake Sullivan, his National Security Advisor. When you ask some of these experts, former secretaries, former diplomats, about these two in particular, what is the conversation about what responsibility they may bear here?
I think Biden, as a leader, did something pretty smart, which is said in the White House, in a televised remarks, the buck stops with the president. But then he kind of obfuscated. He blamed Trump. He blamed Afghans for not fighting back enough. And if you ask anybody who's worked in government, it's the National Security Advisor, who in this case is Jake Sullivan, who's kind of the shepherd between this whole complex U.S. bureaucracy that, you know, held up this presence in Afghanistan. And obviously no one was fired. I'm not saying anyone needs to be fired, but there is a question of if no one is held accountable for how this withdrawal went, are bad ideas circulating in the Biden administration? Another person I think who's worth bringing up is Secretary of State Tony Blinken. He was scheduled to be in the Hamptons on vacation when all of this went down. There hadn't been someone in charge in the State Department at a high level making sure this all went smoothly until after some really disastrous forks in the road. And look, there's enough blame to go around with previous administrations. Obviously, President Donald Trump had hollowed out the State Department. He'd arranged for this withdrawal without a lot of the plans in terms of making a deal with the Taliban that was very unpopular. But the Biden administration had plenty of time to get this right. They'd been in office 7 or 8 months, and there really didn't seem to be a coordinated plan, starting with the White House and going through the Pentagon, intelligence agencies, State Department, and the many arms of the U.S. government that were working in Afghanistan.
Now, the president and Jake Sullivan, his national security advisor, might say some of this is true, right? His predecessor, former President Donald Trump, announced that there was going to be a pullout and kind of set the table for that, announced that the head of the Afghan government, Ashraf Ghani, he fled when all of this was happening. So, I mean, is there any credence to the argument that he was left a bad hand and he just had to play it?
Well, no one has to play a hand in foreign policy. I mean, one tactical error may have been the State Department keeping on board Zalmay Khalilzad, a longtime diplomat who's been involved in Afghanistan for years and was a Trump holdover at a very senior level, who many have criticized the deal he made in Doha, Qatar, with the Taliban. But I sort of think there's a systemic failure of 20 years of bad policy in Afghanistan, where a war that was meant to, you know, take on al-Qaeda ended up becoming this long-term ideological war on terrorism that spans four administrations and wastes so many lives, so much American power, prestige, capital, etc. Just a tremendous tragedy. And then there's the tactical and the bureaucratic errors of how this withdrawal was conducted. I think it was, as I say, really brave for President Biden to stand by the campaign promise to end these forever wars. And in fact, I wish he would go a little farther. You know, we do have U.S. troops in Syria. We're sending about 500 troops to Somalia, a number of other countries in the region. And in many ways, the war on terrorism still continues kind of in the backdrop, in the margins. And if anything, I think the lesson from Afghanistan and this very catastrophic withdrawal is that there needs to be coordination and planning to kind of end the mistakes of predecessors in the White House.
I guess stepping back on this 20-year war, you know, we spoke to Craig Whitlock, you know, the reporter and author of the Afghanistan Papers, about documents raising fundamental questions all the way through, right? Why are we there? Who is the enemy? I mean, do these problems with the exit overlap with the fundamental problems with the mission in the first place?
I do think so. I think we have to go all the way back to 2001, when actually pretty quickly Al-Qaeda and its supporters, the Taliban, they were really addressed through this U.S. military intervention. And the Bush administration could have maybe stopped there. I mean, it's kind of a counterfactual that maybe we haven't put enough thought into. But this war stretched on and took on a new arena in Iraq and became, in response to the 9/11 attacks, about 85 countries the U.S. has been engaged in counterterrorism. And I think a lot of it has to do with not enough questions being asked internally within the Pentagon and given straight answers.
Reports of accountability will be coming out over the next months and years. But I want to ask you how you think about why these questions matter. Thousands of ordinary Afghans were forced to flee or stay in incredibly dangerous situations. You know, some are still trying to get to the United States through this visa process. It's one thing to ask who may be at fault here. It's another to ask who bears the costs of these arguably bad decisions.
I mean, my heart goes out to Afghanistan, where some of the policies the U.S. is still going forward with essentially sanction the country, and there's famine-like conditions, and there's a huge currency crisis, obviously made much worse by the global food insecurity caused by the Ukraine-Russia war. But really, when we're talking about U.S. foreign policy, it's about what's in the American interests, what's the best in the long term for Americans. And I don't think the war in Afghanistan, as it went on, made Americans safer. And it really worries me that you have people like John Bolton, the Trump and Bush senior diplomat. You have some of the former generals like Petraeus and McChrystal and others who've really been welcomed back into the establishment fold, still get called upon, still have these very cushy posts by which to pontificate. And real accountability isn't just for the Biden administration for how this all went about last year. It's accountability for systemic failure in how the U.S. military and national security architecture really carried on this war that I think made Afghanistan a lot worse off and made us as Americans no more safe.
Will that accountability come? And if it does, will it change anything in the future, in future wars?
Well, Afghanistan, you know, it didn't fail because of one or two small things. These were deep systemic problems. I think Biden really has some opportunities in terms of reorienting U.S. foreign policy, and ending a forever war was a great place to start. And I do hope that his administration looks carefully at what went wrong last year and over 20 years in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in the Middle East, to really reassess and rebuild a U.S. foreign policy that is perhaps in some ways restrained, but also a lot more smarter in terms of dealing with the true challenges of today.
That's Jonathan Geyer. He is a writer for Vox. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.